whatever it takes.
When you're hearing high school sports broadcast here on AM 1320 WFHR, it's proudly brought to you by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, Paper City Savings, La Chapelle, Kreshock, and Edishon, Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Tim Hintz Automotive, Ministry Healthcare, Renaissance Learning, Marshfield Clinic, Del Monte Foods, 8th Street Auto, and Homestead Golf. Follow all the action right here on AM 1320 WFHR and streaming live at WR.com.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
A blend of clouds and sunshine in the forecast for this afternoon with high temperatures in the low to mid-70s. Then for tonight, partly cloudy skies will cool to a low of 44. Lots of sunshine into the upcoming weekend. For your Saturday, those highs looking to reach into the upper 70s. Clear, quiet conditions Saturday night and 47. And for your Sunday, high of 78. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Mike Harrow.
Thank you, Michael. Under sunny skies, a gorgeous morning across central Wisconsin. 56 in Wausau, 57 in Marshfield, 56 in Stevens Point, and 58 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thanks again. Welcome back, everybody, to today's show on AM 1320 and streaming live at WFHR.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management. Today with John Moffitt. Pete's busy, and John's in, and you can reach your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700. Today, the sell in May and go away theory. And with that, we say good morning to John Moffitt. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Carl. Happy birthday to you. I understand it's your birthday.
Yep, it is. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
And I need to apologize. I got a little scratchy voice today, so
that's okay.
I'll do the best I can here.
We'll try and make this as easy as possible. We do have a break during this segment, so I'll give you a chance to rest up. I appreciate you coming in with the voice and all. But let's talk about this theory, and Pete had sent me some background material, and I was reading it, and how did this thing come about? Is it based on, things start going down in May, and therefore go away until they go back up, or what is this?
Well, like everything on Wall Street, people figure out seasonal patterns, and they're analyzing every bit of data they can, and the name of Yale Hirsch first made the observation in the Stock Traders' Almanac back in 1986 that if you would buy on November 1st and sell on May 1st, that your profits were better than if you bought and held the whole year. His theory was that in the summertime, a lot of people take off, go away, things like that. And he started looking at the patterns, and there's a definite seasonal pattern relating to this. If you would have invested in the S&P 500 on November 1st and then sold everything out on May 1st and looked at your results over the last 40 years, you would have been a lot better off. But the reality is most people can't do that because of tax consequences, everything else. But it is quite compelling.
Okay. But so is it a realistic?
Well, realistic from the standpoint is it's actually true that in most cases, the period of November through March is normally seasonal pattern. That is the best time to be invested. And I think, and this is just my opinion, it relates to the fact that we're starting a new year. Mm-hmm. People are enthusiastic. You get through tax loss selling season in October, November, and it usually does better during the last couple of months of a fiscal year and the first quarter of the new year.
Okay. How affected on presidential years? I'm curious.
Oh, well, there's a stat for that also.
I thought there would be.
Yeah. So the Luthold Group out of Minneapolis just put out what they call the Sell in May statistical update. And in their words, it says, we've noted in the last several years that there's more statistical legitimacy to this phenomena, Sell in May, than any other anomaly they've ever studied. And these are guys that do nothing but analyze the market. So then they took it one step further and said, how does this all play into the presidential election years? So I'll give you those stats and we can talk about it. But in the actual election year, the sell in May and go away is one of the weaker, if you will, statistical patterns in that it just doesn't work as well in an election year that it does in other years for some reason. I don't know why, but
okay,
that's according to Luthold.
Okay, so the sell in May and go away isn't as prevalent during an election year. Yeah. Is that maybe because people investors are concerned about Wall Street hates uncertainty, as we Pete and I have talked before. And now you're entering, especially this election year, a whole lot of uncertainty. And how much of that comes into play?
Oh, a lot of it. As Pete has mentioned in this show previously, Wall Street likes to think it knows where things are going. And when there is uncertainty or the people have an uncertain feeling about the future, investment professionals, that just seems that Wall Street just doesn't do as well. And right now, we don't know what new tax policies are going to be put in place. We don't know who's going to win the election, et cetera, et cetera. So right now we're in this period of uncertainty, which is normally not good for Wall Street. But let me add one thing, that this simple way normally applies when the first quarter's returns are very good. What happened in 2016? Returns have been pretty poor for the first 4.5 months of the year. So this seasonal pattern may not work so well this year.
Okay. Well, this is an interesting, these patterns or how you folks in the investment profession try to figure out things. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to be back with, I'm going to talk about seasonal activities and I want to get into more about why is this November through January period seems to be stronger? And then I'll get your take on what's actually happening with the market. It's up one day a lot, down another day. I mean, it's like a roller coaster ride. You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management. Today with John Moffitt. Back with more right after this.
So you pushed her to have sex.
You played her.
You pressured her.
You forced a little.
Does that make you feel like a man? Because you don't look like one to us.
You look like a punk with no game.
Real men don't force.
There's no sex.
No groping without her permission.
It's illegal.
And you can be arrested for sexual assault.
And there's no pride in that.
But there is pride in letting her make up her own mind.
And respecting her decision.
Respect her decision.
No matter what she's wearing.
Don't pressure.
And what you think she's done in the past.
Don't force.
Or she changed her mind.
Stop.
Real men respect.
Now that's something to be proud of.
Respect.
For more information about sexual assault, log on to WCASA.org. That's WCASA.org. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, the Wisconsin Department of Health and Family Services, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
A blend of clouds and sunshine in the forecast for this afternoon with high temperatures low to mid-70s. Then for tonight, partly cloudy skies will cool to a low of 44. Lots of sunshine into the upcoming weekend. For your Saturday, those highs looking to reach into the upper 70s. Clear, quiet conditions Saturday night and 47. And for your Sunday, high of 78. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Thank you, Michael. In central Wisconsin, plenty of sun. And currently, our temperature is 69 degrees here at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with John Moffitt today. You can reach your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700. And our topic for discussion today has been the sell in May and go away theory. And seasonal activities. Well, why is this November so magical about the November through January period?
Well, I have an opinion. That's all it is an opinion.
Well, sure, but
because there is no definitive answer. But it's the start of a new year. People are optimistic about things. Things are going to change. We're finishing one year, starting another year. And also, from an earnings estimate standpoint, all the Wall Street firms put out their new earnings estimates for the following year. And normally Wall Street is optimistic about the future. Obviously, that's their business, and I would venture to say that there's, at the turn of a calendar year, there's far more optimism than there is pessimism, unless there's something specifically going on.
Okay. I guess, what is your company, Buena Vista, what's your philosophy? Well, what's your reaction to this? What do you tell investors? Isn't it individual? I mean, when it comes down to it, isn't it based on an individual's own portfolio and their risk and the willingness for risk, et cetera, et cetera?
Oh, sure. I mean, that's the bottom line to all this stuff. But as far as seasonal patterns are concerned, that's not something that we have ever created an investment strategy around.
Okay.
Because it's not realistic in many cases because tax consequences or there is restrictions on the mutual funds they might own in terms of buying and selling. And the reality is, you know, 2016 could be the exact opposite pattern of the sell in May and go away. So our view has always been to understand the fundamentals, look at the top-down things that are going on in the market and invest based on those pure fundamentals.
Okay. Well, given that, what's going on? There's one day you'll be looking and the stock market's up real, real high. And then the next day, it's down. And it's like, it's been this roller coaster. You know, what's happening with the market right now?
Yeah, it really has been a roller coaster recently. There's a gentleman by the name of Jim Paulson, who is the chief investment strategist for Wells Fargo.
Okay.
And Jim recently penned an article called "It's Neither a Bear Nor a Bull, But Rather a Bunny Market."
A bunny market.
And it was his opinion that this market was going to hop around, but yet not do much over the next 6 to 8 months, 6 to 9 months. And that was just a term he coined. But what we're waiting on is corporate profits to begin to improve. And I think the market lacks direction, and going back to your comment a few minutes ago, the uncertainty relating to the election, and more so to Mr. Trump than Mrs. Clinton, in that Trump is a real unknown on Wall Street,
right,
where Hillary has more of is a known commodity.
Right, and they know what they can expect. What to expect from her. I was reading in the USA Today's money section this week, Trump made some comment that put him in the far left, basically, on monetary policy. He goes, remember, we can print more money. And we talked about buying back debt. And, and he goes, and it's this new theory on the political left involving monetary policy, and it put him squarely even farther left than Hillary Clinton and when it comes to monetary policy. And then he talks about getting rid of Dodd-Frank and stuff, so that puts him on the conservative sides. He's all over the map, it looks like.
Right. I think that is the big concern that investment people have, is that we're not sure what the policies are, especially as it relates to monetary policy and the debt, budgets, things like that. So we'll just have to wait and see how all this works out. But it dovetails back into that, why the market is bouncing around so much.
When it's bouncing, is it bouncing on some opportunities people are maybe missing? We always hear about the Warren Buffett's of the world. When everybody's running out, he's running in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no question about it. He bought Apple here, took a big position in Apple after Apple hit multi-year lows. And obviously he has the capital to be able to do that. The old adage is really when everybody's yelling, be happy, you should be selling, and when everybody's crying, you should be buying.
Okay.
So from that standpoint, since about August of last year, so almost a full year, the S&P 500 was at 2134. We had almost a 12.5% decline during the end of last year. Market rebounded, and so far this year, we went through a 14.5% correction, only to rebound again, and now recently we've had some weakness again. So those are two really big percentage corrections that we've had here in the last year, which gets people excited and dovetails back into that bunny theory that markets are just bouncing all over the place and don't have any clear direction as to where they're going.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes people nervous. And the average person at that point goes, well, I'm going to maybe put it in cash or stay on the sidelines until there's some direction.
Yeah.
Is that a realistic strategy?
Well, it was a very realistic strategy a number of years ago until we've reduced rates so low that money market fund yields are 0.1%, 0.5%.
Yeah.
It's just not realistic from an investment standpoint to put money in assets that don't generate anything. And dealing with volatility, unfortunately, as something investors have had to deal with in this low interest rate environment. And that's a hard thing for investors and savers, is you don't have a lot of opportunities until we see interest rates rise. And that's one of the reasons. Another reason why the market has been bouncing around is all of the uncertainty to the Fed.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
I'm a believer that the Fed is responding to these market swings rather than laying out clear policy and saying we're going to raise rates, because rates, in my opinion, should be raised. But they raised it one time, the market threw a hissy fit, and then they said they're not going to raise.
Yeah.
Then the market went back up again. So, you know, right now the market is holding the Fed hostage, I believe, in the short run. We'll have to see how all that plays out. But we're talking about a trend that's been 35 years in the making of lower interest rates.
Right.
We saw a bottom literally almost 2 years ago, and we'll have to see where it goes from here.
What, in your view, since you said you think they should be raised, how unrealistic are the rates right now? Where should they be at?
I don't have an answer for where they should be.
Okay.
I do believe they should be higher than they are today, given where we are unemployment-wise. You know, we're sitting at 5% unemployment. There's been a number of things that have occurred over the last few months that indicate that we may be seeing some higher inflation down the road, which in normal circumstances, the Fed would be gradually increasing interest rates, especially in an environment where they're so low.
Right. It's been dirt low. I mean, it's been
right. And it really hurts savers. That's who's being hurt by this. They're trying to, you know, initiate some risk taking, but in our view, they've been too low too long, and an increase in interest rates would help everybody longer term.
Yeah, one of the things they say that keeps the Fed nervous about this is the fact, the unemployment rate is down, but the job, the amount of jobs created was not what we anticipated, or it was below projections. You hear that, the market goes hissy fit, and then you hear the scuttlebutt from the Fed, or you read it in their minutes, we better be careful here. We got to be careful.
So let's take that as a statistical piece of information.
Sure.
During the Great Recession of 2008, we lost 8.8 million jobs. Okay, large number, no question about it. But since 2010, this country has created 14.4 million jobs. So we have gained everything back and put people back to work. Now, we could debate what type of jobs and how much they pay and all that kind of stuff. But what the Fed really is trying to do is increase wages. And that's one thing that is also statistically important. And when you look at the data going back into the 60s, yes, we're back at normal unemployment rates, but the wage growth in this country has been relatively low for a long time for a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Changes in the global environment, technology.
Oh, yeah.
An interesting fact that people might not realize. Employment in the manufacturing industry peaked in the early 70s. The more people working in manufacturing. Do you know what year we sold more dollars of manufactured goods than ever before?
No.
2015. This country produced more manufactured goods than at any time in our history, but it's doing it with less people.
Yeah, because of the tech, because one of the things, like they show students during the heavy metal bus tour, is manufacturing is no longer the dirty, manual, labor-intense business. It's high tech.
It's
computer. It's computer. I'm toward the Crazen plant over here, Ocean Spray. I was amazed. Guys in, you know, certain lab suits or whatever, watching monitors and programming computers, and how clean the place was. And I was just like, wow, this is totally different.
And that's the food industry, right?
Right, right.
Well, I read an article about General Electric has a battery factory. And literally they were saying it was so clean you could eat off. Now, this is a battery manufacturing plant. So we live in a different world. It's nothing is going to be like it was in the past. Our politicians keep telling us how bad things are, when the reality of the U.S. economy is doing okay. It just is. And that's the facts. When you look at them, it's not the way it was in the 70s or the 80s, but we're doing okay in our opinion.
Well, yeah, and it's, like you said, it's going to go back to that.
Correct.
It's never going to go. It's like saying the paper industry will have the same number. I mean, that industry had to, go into computers and automation and everything else, and that eliminated jobs. This business and broadcasting, we've gone into when everything went digital and eliminated the need for a certain amount of employees in the broadcasting industry, and now one person can do editing on a computer that used to take several hours on tape.
Right.
Yeah, or down there. So, I mean, the tech. Here's my question, John. Pete has always mentioned that the stock market likes to kind of project the future, predict the future. Is part of the problem right now with the market that it's forgotten that, and it's kind of almost react instinctively to what's happening now instead of projecting out?
Well, I definitely agree with what you're saying, that it is reacting to what's to every piece of statistical data. And I think that, I'll take it back to technology. I think today, the instantaneous information anywhere in the world, the ability to pick up every piece of information, and the ability to invest in investment vehicles, trade second by second, causes it to be more reactive. So the people that are in the I call it the sandbox, the trading sandbox.
Okay.
That's what they do. That's how they're going to make a living. And I think it does and has, and that's neither good nor bad. It just is what it is, has created more volatility, the expansion of ETFs, things like that.
Given all of this volatility, are there sectors or industries that Buena Vista is seeing opportunities, or are there industries right now that are doing quite well that people are maybe not noticing?
Well, there's a lot of industries doing extremely well.
Okay.
I mean, to pick one over anything else, the one that hasn't done well is the oil industry.
Right, and that's to be expected given the crash in the oil prices.
Right. So from an investment opportunity, if you believe the oil,
now we come back.
Right. Dividend yields are high. Bond investments for oil companies are yielding very high income streams. So that's really the sector that right now offers the most opportunity if you're willing to look beyond the current environment.
Yeah, and they're talking about eventually oil prices will be going back up.
Right.
That's
interesting. And eventually, we will have more electric cars. We will have alternative sources of energy. It's going to happen, just like we talked a little bit ago. I mean, technology always will change. In a capitalistic environment, technology will change things. And the oil industry is no different. But in the short term, there's a lot of opportunities.
Well, people will continue creating things. There'll be the inventors that will come up with some foreign cars. Somebody's going to come up with a way to market a realistic electric car that is affordable and become the next Ford or whatever.
Well, Chevy is coming out with the Chevy Bolt, B-O-L-T, purely electric, same battery range as the Tesla, 200 miles on a single charge. That's technology. That's changing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't stop it. You adapt and adjust to it. I think that's right now the market is looking for the way forward. And it's not quite sure. So we might be in a period where it's hopping around a little bit like the bunny rabbit.
Okay, given that hopping around, what's your advice for the nervous investor or the folks that are going, I don't like this hopping, John.
Yeah, I don't like the hopping either. But it's part of the market. I mean, you change it. We believe in capitalism and the global economy, and I think the stock market will be okay. I think people suffer from the 2000, 2008 were terrible bear markets.
Yeah.
Will we have another one? At some point in time in the future, we've had two really healthy corrections recently. We're more optimistic about the second half of this year and moving into 2017. We think the oil industry will come. Really what's hurt the S&P profitability is the decline in earnings for the major oil companies.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, I guess to sum up, it would be take a deep breath, calm down, and Pete and I have talked about this. I'm sure you agree with it. Don't make your investment decisions based on emotion.
Or you can sell in May and go away. Back November 1st.
See, this is what we call segueing and wrapping, putting a wrap on it. The emotions. I know it's an emotional thing. The stock market. You know, people who put down the stock market, call it the Wall Street Casino.
And to a degree, it is. But if you're if you look at the fundamentals, the global economy will be okay. The U.S. economy is doing well, and corporate America is always going to do well. That's just capitalism at its best.
Well, what effect would if Britain pulls out of if they pull out of the euro?
Well, there's another uncertainty that just lands right in the lap of Wall Street, because I really don't know what impact it's going to have. The whole European Union is, I believe, a good thing for the global economy. If all that starts, I really don't know. It's hard to answer the question, but I don't think equity investments would do very well.
Okay. So, like I said, there's always something.
Always something to worry about. That's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, and that's the nature of the investment game. And again, folks, if you wanted to talk to your local investment professionals at Buena Vista Investment Management, give them a call at 715-422-0700. There you go. You just heard about sell in May and go away, the theory. It's just that, a theory. Okay, John, thank you so much. I hope your voice gets better and you're feeling better, sir.
Thank you, Carol.
Have a good weekend. And with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management today with John Moffitt. And that's going to wrap up the Morning Magazine. The Morning Magazine, as always, has been brought to you by comfort there. CBS News is coming up next, and I'm sure we'll hear about some Wall Street news or economic news during that. And that will lead into Over the Back Fence. I'll be here taking your phone calls during Over the Back Fence. Or Over the Back Fence will in turn lead into the WFHR Noon Report. Plenty of information for your lunch hour, including the Community Spotlight, which I will present about 12:40. That's all here today on AM WFHR.
This is Matt LePay, voice of the Wisconsin Badgers. Start your day with a smile on the Good Morning Show, weekdays on AM 1320.